It's been a particularly difficult week for this community. Last weekend, Gail was struggling and suffering in a lot of pain, and gratefully on Monday she was able to enter Hospice House. And what an amazing, miraculous place, because there she finally found some peace until she finally passed away early this morning. And then this shocking news about Craig Luxinger, I think we're still in shock about that. When the ground shifts under our feet and all that we know has been taken from us, what do we do? What do we hold on to? There is a thread that goes among things that change, but it does not change. The poet William Stafford wrote these words just a few weeks before he died. There is a thread that goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. But doesn't everything change? Doesn't everything have to change? I mean, it seems like all of life is in constant motion, shifting, rising, falling. Friends move away, new people arrive. Land once covered in trees, now planted with houses. Cupcake shops turn into frozen yogurt stands. Friendships bloom, friendships fall away. Excitement builds for a new venture. And then new ventures become tedious routines. All that rises will fall. All that is created will break down. All that is born will die. Do you ever wish that the world would just slow down, stop for a minute until you can catch up? But you know, sometimes change doesn't come fast enough. There are those who are praying for change, praying for hostilities to fall away, for defenses to break down, for resentment to die. Sometimes change is a blessing, isn't it? Bringing relief to suffering. This too shall pass, they say. And we who have long lived on this earth know, we know that that's true. Pain does not last forever. Grief will wane. Today's unbearable agony will become tomorrow's dull ache. Even heaven and earth shall pass away. And yet, among these things that change, there is a thread. There is a thread that you hold and follow. This thread stretches back 7 generations and more. And this thread stretches ahead 7 generations and more. Hold on. Hold on to it, and you won't get lost. One of Theodore Parker's transcendentalist friends was Henry David Thoreau. And Thoreau noticed that when we are unhurried and when we are wise, we perceive that only great and worthy things have any permanent and absolute existence. He observed that petty fears and petty pleasures are but the shadows of reality. Holding on to the thread can help you to be unhurried and wise. The people around you may wonder. They may wonder what it is you're holding on to and what it is that you're pursuing, because it's hard for others to see that thread. So many people are hurried, chasing after pleasures and running away from fear. The Buddha teaches the folly of this pursuit in his lessons on impermanence. He says, all things that are conditioned and created and compounded rise up, reach a peak, and then inevitably decay. We see this easily in the roses cut from the garden last Monday, now fading. We see it easily in our own bodies and in the bodies of our parents. We see it even in mental formations, ideas, thoughts, and emotions. Like anger, it rises, takes up a life of its own, and eventually, it decays and fades away. Or desire, it rises, takes up a life of its own, and eventually, it decays and fades away. These things all follow a pattern of impermanence. And this means that there is a limit to how much pleasure and strength and happiness and satisfaction these things can provide us. If we keep holding on to things that are transient and impermanent, then we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment and suffering. If we seek lasting satisfaction from things that are fleeting, we are never going to be satisfied. And so the Buddha teaches us to let go. Let go of things that are not ultimate, that are not eternal. People will look at you and wonder. They'll wonder what you're pursuing, and you have to try to explain this thread that you're holding on to. It's hard for others to see. People are going to wonder why you go to church or synagogue or temple, why you sit in silence and chant in lost languages, why you go to the woods and listen to the voice of the wind, why you read Rumi or the Psalms. So you have to explain. You have to explain this thread. It's hard for others to see, and it's hard to explain. We each have to find our own language, a language that resonates with our own being. The Buddha teaches an important lesson about letting go of our attachments to things that will eventually crumble and change. And as we have said, that describes pretty much everything we see, touch, feel, experience in life. The Buddha also taught that if all that arises ceases, then the reverse must be true. That which does not rise does not cease, and that which is not born does not die. And that's the thread. That which does not rise, that which is not born, that is eternal, not created. In Buddhist terminology, that thread is nirvana. In Christian terminology, it is the everlasting word, or logos, or mind of God. In Taoism, it is beyond naming. The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao, it is not the thread. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The unnameable is the eternal real. And so I wonder for you all, what is the thread? Do you have a sense of the thread? Do you have a name for the thread? Anyone? Love. Presence. Connection. Compassion. Continuity. Continuity. Heritage. Megan. You all sitting in this room have traveled this life long enough to know that nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. Nothing you can do to stop the march of life's events. Tragedies will happen and people will get hurt. You and I will keep getting older and people will keep dying. If you can hold on to that thread, you will not get lost. You know, the heartbreaking thing about being part of such a large community is that you see it all. You see it all. And the longer you stay here, the more you see and the more you feel. You grow close to people and then they're gone. You come face to face with their tragedies almost as if they are your own. You come to care deeply, deeply about people, and sometimes they let you down. Maybe that's why I sat in the back row for the first few years of my joining my first congregation. Maybe I knew that if I inched up closer and closer to people's lives, then I would feel not only the joy of that community, but also the agony of it. It is true that the more you expand your circles of care, the more you will come into contact with the suffering of others. Now, you can see that as kind of a relentless or even morbid succession of sorrow. The sharing of events and the unfolding of time. But you know, that sharing of the unfolding of time, it also reveals the loveliness of life. There are unexpected blessings. First, when you are part of a community of care, you are witness to the fact that it is possible not to get lost. It is possible not to get lost. Even when terrible things happen, you are witness to the resurrection of hope and the rebirth of joy. And second, when you allow yourself to face and be with the suffering of others in your community, you will get clear very, very quickly about what is essential in life. It will become very clear to you what is important, what is eternal, and what is transient, what to let go of, and what to hold on to. Like the Taoists, I resist naming that thread. But I can tell you what it feels like. I can tell you what it feels like to hold on to it. It feels like the great ebb and flow. It feels like the great burst of love that formed the first stars and the love that keeps inviting us to get up, to rise up. It feels like St. Juliana of Norwich singing, "All will be well, all will be well, all manner of things will be well." It feels like the evolutionary impulse, the great yearning to be creative and free. It feels like the big yes. There is a thread. There is a thread. You follow it. It goes among things that change, but it never changes. While you hold on to it, you will never get lost. Don't ever let go of that thread. Amen.